Okay, so I always try to, anybody that brought up points that were really good that I missed, I want to point something out. Last time I talked, we talked about those skills and those talents that everybody has. And James came up and he said, or the service that we can do for people, that loving service, and that we always, always, always focus on those public talents, right? Preaching, teaching, singing, all that stuff. And we look at that as the pinnacle of service, right? That you are the like figurehead, you are the person in front doing what needs to be done. And we sort of put that up on a pedestal. And it's really discouraging to people who can't do that. Perfect example, he's not in the room, so well, his representative is in the room right now. So Travis flat out said, "I can't lead singing. And I have a wife who loves me enough to tell me that I shouldn't lead singing." And he said, "You know what? I felt bad for that for a little while." But eventually he gets over it. He said, "You know, that's not where my talent lies." So, that being said, if you don't have a public talent, you are still a servant. You just get to do it. And frankly, it's almost like you have almost a superpower, because when you get up and teach and preach and sing, everybody, like if you ever done that, you come down, everybody says, "Hey, good job, hey, good job." It feels really good, right? But if you're just really good at comforting people or visiting people, you don't ever get that praise, but you keep doing it anyways, right? So it's sort of like you got a little bit harder job, but you're doing just as much work. So, and that's something we're going to talk about when we get into a section over here. We're going to talk about how do we sort of build each other up. Okay, anybody got questions or things they want to start with? Anybody just want to point out anything that just dying to talk? I know you guys are always on that mic, so just. Okay. So feel free to jump in. This one is, like I said last time, sometimes you teach a lesson and you feel like it's kicking you in the teeth while you're preparing it. So this is another one of those. It's going to be real easy to start thinking, "Oh man, I didn't do that. I don't do that. I'm not great at that. I'm not good at that." Don't beat yourself up as we go through this, okay? And we're gonna hopefully give a little bit of positivity into this as well. So, see where we were? I like to start where we were. So, prepare, ignite, fuel. We're in the last lesson of the fuel section, right? And remember, fuel, all that stuff you need to keep going. You put gas in your car. If you don't, you'll end up on the side of the road. You put food into your body, and it hopefully fuels you. Sometimes it'll just make you feel like you need a nap. So we're in that fuel part. So how do we take our zeal and how do we fuel it? How do we build it so that it is going to continue forward? And if you watched all these, the Olympics or any of the stuff that pops up on Facebook or Instagram, it's always the story of that person who's right at the last second and they stopped for some reason because they thought they were at the finish line, and then somebody blows by them and wins. That's where we are with this one, okay? And I'm going to talk about that here in a second. Wednesday night, we're going to start on the protect. Okay, and we'll get there. I'll talk about that hopefully a little bit at the end if I have time. So today's lesson goals, we're going to define diligence because our title of the lesson is Finishing with Diligence. Okay, it's like we tell students at school, if you didn't finish, you might as well not even started because you don't get there, right? So how do you finish? How do you get all the way to the end with diligence? So we're going to define diligence because that's one of those words we use, and I think if I didn't ask you what is diligence, some of you all would have a hard time defining it because it's just one of those things. It's a word we use a lot, but it's sort of vague. It's sort of there. And then we're going to talk about four tips to enhance, and there should be diligence up there, but I bet it fell out of the text box. So we're going to learn four tips to enhance diligence. So let's start quick. So diligence is, if you got a little box on your paper, which most of you do, it says diligence is careful and persistent work or effort. Okay? So, I know we've all heard the sermons that all start with diligence, and Merriam-Webster describes diligence as, and then it's just like, and that starts. That's like how, that's like Sermon 101. You don't know how to start? Define a word, right? And so this is actually Google has this new feature. If you type in the word define and the word after it, it just takes you straight to the dictionary.com page. So that's going to be the next one, as dictionary.com says, and this. So careful and persistent work or effort. So everything up to this point in this fuel section has been about work or effort, right? And so this is talking about how do we end that. How do we get from the beginning where our fuel is great and we're ready to go to the middle where we might have lost a little bit of our fuel and we're trying to build that back up to the very end of it where sometimes you just don't have enough fumes to get to the pumps, right? So how are we going to do that? And that's sort of where the kick in the teeth part comes in, because it's hard. And the author, Mr. Shoemake, says... I've got a student that's Shoemake right now. So Shoemake said, my favorite thing was, it's initiative versus finishitive. Okay, that's hard to say. Finishitive, like how are you going to get to the end of things? So Romans 12:11. Let's take a look there real quick. That's a verse we want to look at. Romans 12:11 says, got to scroll down to it. Actually, I'm going to go back to 10 because I think it starts a little better. So be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Okay. And also, Mr. Shoemake also brings up Proverbs 20:11. We're going to look at that here in a second as a verse that we need to take a look at. So, that's why they popped up there. Is diligence hard? Is it hard to have careful and persistent work or effort? And what happens if you're careful but you're not persistent? Or what happens if you're persistent but you're not careful? Is it still diligence? And I think this is one of those, sometimes you get an either or. I think this is a both thing, okay? That diligence, that careful work and effort and persistent work and effort. You could be real careful about something, but if you're not persistent, you're not being diligent, right? If you're being very persistent, but you're not being careful, is it worth the work or effort? Okay. Questions? It's early on a Sunday morning, I know. Okay. We'll get there. So we got four tips, and Mr. Shoemake brings in these four tips, and we're going to spend the majority of our time talking about these four tips. They are sort of hard to face because they are things that when you look at them, first of all, it may be something you're already doing and you don't realize it, or it may be something that is really hard for you, okay? And we're going to talk about how do we use these as things we can do, okay? And how do we take these tips and make them things we can do. So tip number one is reject laziness and aim for good work. And I always point out where I disagree with an author, I would rather he would have gone for just five tips and split this one up, because there's a lot here to unpack, okay? So reject laziness and aim for good work. But I do like how he worded it, right? Because did he say do good work? He says aim for good work. And we're going to talk about the difference between aiming for and completing, okay? We'll talk about that here in a second. So we all have heard the sermons, we've all heard the classes. Work is good. It is good for you to work, right? It is good for you to go out and do stuff. You may not want to go out into the yard and do all that yard work, but when you are done, after you feel like you've been beat up and drugged through the desert, it you feel good, right? It is good for your body to work. It is good for your mind to work. It is how you get smarter. It is how you get stronger, and it produces results. So Philippians 4, 8 and 9. So finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on about such things. Whenever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. He didn't say work. What's our work word in there, in that verse? Yeah, P. Yeah, starts with P, rhymes with schmactus. It's practice, right? Practice is work. Practice in this It's like when you go to a doctor, you know, I don't know if I should trust you. He says, practice on your son. I want one that already knows everything, right? Or if you've ever done any, I'm trying to think of something that else they call it, practice, right? I'm practicing law. This old joke, defendant gets sentenced to life in prison. He looks over his lawyer and he says, I want another one. He says, you're just practicing, right? So, practice. How do you reject laziness, though? Because I'm going to be honest, this right here in a church sense, that reject laziness right there might as well have stepped off, that book might as well have popped up and smacked me in the face and then went back down to my lap where I was highlighting it. So how do you reject laziness? It's hard because laziness is easy, right? Got someone to see? Okay, cool. I didn't know if it was the baby just waving or... No, go ahead.
By just acknowledging that what you're currently doing is not enough.
Yeah. Remember, I've said this a whole bunch, and I'm not getting a kickback from any of the anonymous programs, but the first step in having a problem is admitting you have a problem. Okay? Sorry. Yeah. So the first step in having that problem is admitting that you have it. If you have a problem with laziness, literally the first thing you have to do is to realize, I'm lazy. I'm not doing what I need to do. Because if you don't see a problem with being lazy, if you don't think it's a problem, you ain't gonna fix it. Right? Does anybody fix the problem they don't have? Oh, God. I'm sorry. Or has anybody ever fixed a problem they've never admitted to? Right? If I don't admit that there's a leak under my sink, it's never going to get fixed because it's not there in my brain. So admit that you have a laziness problem. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, the next tip we get to is going to be something that helps you with that. I sort of made a promise to myself this morning as I was looking over my notes. I'm trying not to say you. I want to say we, right? And we're going to talk about we here too. There's a lot of nuggets of wisdom in this section of the book. Because when I say you, I feel like I'm accusatory. But we, I'm talking to myself, right? So, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? Wayne Gretzky or Michael Scott, either one, whoever said that. So, that's the perfect example, right, of that laziness. If you don't start, you will fail. You fail at everything you don't start, okay? And it's a thing we have to point out to students all the time. Not making a choice is still making a choice, right? You just automatically choose the negative version, okay? Do your homework. Well, I didn't choose either way. Yeah, you did. You chose not to do your homework because by not choosing the positive, you automatically choose the negative, okay? And that is a behavior thing. If you that's a behaviors issue. Like, and when I say behavior, I mean like the actions that we as human beings take, right? If you don't choose, you automatically choose the negative. So if you say, well, I didn't decide to take out the trash, that's right. Well, if you don't decide to take out trash, the natural whatever that is or opposite of that is you just don't take out the trash. So you chose. And I'll talk about the aim part for a second. What did we talk about a couple lessons back? We talked about how is our goal moral flawlessness? Or is our goal loving service? It's loving service. If our goal is moral flawlessness, our goal is unattainable. We cannot be morally flawless. We can try our best, and we can be pretty close, or closer than other people, but you're still not there, right? And so that's where you can sort of get discouraged on this one, is it doesn't say do good work. I like that he chose aim because sometimes you will try at things and you will fail, right? Great philosopher once said, do or do not, there is no try. There's a few places where I disagree with that guy, okay? And this is one of them. Sometimes trying is enough because you will fail. You will be zealous. You will want something that you're doing for the church to be a successful, raging hit that just catches like wildfires and we fill this place to bursting, but it will fail. It'll fall flat on its face. You will have like a quarter of the people you expected or whatever it is. You will fail, but what does it matter? That you failed or that you tried? We always, yeah.
Yeah, there's a saying that the church is not a country club for the spiritual elite, but a hospital for the injured and sick. And we have to remember that. Because sometimes we're not willing to aim for good work. We think we can achieve it without having to work for it, or that we've achieved it and we can stop working. You can't.
Yeah, that's a good point. One of the things that I always think is, you ever driven by a casino billboard? What do they always show? Winners, right? That's not what happens. That's like McDonald's having a billboard where it's like somebody choking on a hamburger. How often does somebody choke on a hamburger at McDonald's? Way less than somebody walks into McDonald's and has a good burger, right? And so when they show those winners, they're saying, look, you can be like this, you can be like this. And we sort of get into that too. We always like to talk about all the good stuff and all the good people we have and all the great things that we're doing and all the good people. And who does that scare off? Not intentionally. Who's the scare off? The people who want and need to be good. I love that you didn't say bad people, because I've been racking my brain how not to say bad people, right? Because this was one of those things. When I started teaching, they always said, there are no bad students. There are just kids who make bad choices, right? And I was like, oh, I can't stand that hippie stuff. And then the more I've taught, the more I'm just like, okay, I totally get that. Because if you think this kid's bad, you're going to immediately teach them badly. If we think somebody comes in here and they have a story that we may not think is all kosher and great, we need to see them not as a problem that we need to solve or help, but we need to see them as a soul that is lost that we need to help. Does that make sense? And that's hard. It's hard to do, right? Because we as humans immediately see different, and we think, what are we conditioned to think? Different is bad, right? So, yeah, so the aim part, right? Aim for the good work. And if you fail, it's okay. Get up, try again, right? We are not measured by our failures. We are measured by how often we fail and continue to rise. Okay. Didn't change the title. So let's pretend that this says, so what I do, I make one slide and then I just duplicate it and change the title every time. And I even went through my slides to see if it's there. And then I just change the titles and the text and everything. And I missed this part. So when I aimed for good work here, totally missed. See? Object lesson. There we go. So work with the end in mind. Work with the end in mind. If you have kids that have gone through school lately in the Warren County or Bowling Green Independent School District, you know that he probably had another way to say this, but he didn't want to get sued by the Covey organization, right? Begin with the end in mind. It's one of those seven habits. He actually talks about it in the book, but it's copyrighted, so he couldn't use that without getting sued. So we're going to look at Proverbs 21:5. I'm going to throw my phone. I tried to go with one podium. It didn't work, so... Y'all see me trying to get one podium out on Wednesday night. Just be like, hey, remember that Sunday morning? So Proverbs 21:5. Here we go. So the plans of the diligent certainly lead to advantage. Oh, I got it out there. The plans of the diligent certainly lead to advantage, but everyone who is in a hurry certainly comes to poverty. Okay? So the plans of the diligent lead to profit. So the people who make a plan and then are diligent about that plan will profit, and the people who work quick and don't have diligence are going to fail, right? So I don't know. I was trying to think of other verses I could throw up here, but this literally is exactly what we're looking for, right? So let's talk about plans and how you work with the end in mind. You have to have a plan, okay? We're going to talk about how you build a plan right here in a second. But clarify your goals and make a plan. What do you want to do? I want to invite more people to church. And if you stop there, that's a good start, right? Great start, good job. But you might as well have just it doesn't mean anything. I'm going to invite more people to church. What's my plan to do it? Right? A goal not written down is a wish. Anybody heard that before? So something, a goal without a plan, or I think, or without a plan, I don't remember. So clarify your goal. So let's talk about that for a second. How do you do that? This is the way that I was taught to put goals. And I'm telling you right now, as much as we type things and do this, if you want to have a goal, write it down. Writing it down makes it more real to you. Don't just type it. Don't put a note in your phone. Get a single piece of paper. If you don't have one at your house, I will totally give you a piece of paper. But write it down on your paper and then have it there, okay? Because it is powerful to have it written, right? It's almost like we feel like we are contractually obligated to do that. So I'm going to blank by blank, okay? And now that I say it out loud, it is not a time thing. We'll talk about that, okay? So I'm going to X. What do you want to do? I'm going to invite more. Let's just go with that one. Invite more people to church, right? So by what? What are you going to do that? Okay? I'm going to invite more people to church by sharing your gospel meetings on Facebook. I'm going to invite more people to church by looking for opportunities to talk about a lesson we've heard, right? I'm going to invite more people to church by, and then what is it, what physical concrete action are you going to take to do that? And write it down, right? Say, I'm going to lose weight. Okay, great. What are you going to do? I'm going to lose weight by working out every day for blah, 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 and watching what I eat. You write it down. You get a plan. You put steps into it. Okay? And physically write it down. Okay? You also got to consider those eventualities. What's an eventuality? Brian orders a boat motor. It's got all its parts, but while they're moving it from Timbuktu to here, he loses the propeller. Are you out of luck? What? Because you might... What did you probably plan? What do you probably have sitting at your shop still? Yeah, but do you have other propellers sitting at your shop you could probably switch out? Yeah, probably do. Because he planned for the eventuality, right? You study with somebody, right? And you study with somebody, and you study with them, and you know that they hold a belief that is going to be an issue. So you ignore it, you don't talk about it, and you just let it go until you hope you get to the very end, you cross your fingers, and when it's over, you go, whew! Glad we didn't talk about that, right? No, you prepare yourself. You know what you're going to talk about. You know how you're going to respond lovingly to that. You know how you're going to disarm and diffuse a building argument before it gets started, because then you have a plan, right? If I know I'm going to study with somebody and I know that they're going to say, well, you Church of Christ people think you're the only ones going to heaven, right? I know how to respond to that lovingly and without getting super personal, like taking it personally. Or the instrumental music stuff is going to come up. You know how to respond to that without going too far. But the reality is, too, you also, in those situations, you know when to say, I just don't know, okay? Questions about this one? This one is sort of tied into the last one because, you know, if you start with a plan and you are rejecting laziness, I think these ideas sort of build on each other. So reject it, laziness, and aim for good work, and then you do it by, well, I don't know, I'm going back to the title, it's not on there, by working with the end in mind, by going into it knowing that I need to plan for X, Y, Z. I want to do this, so I'm going to do this. Okay? Questions? Okay, great. Tip 3, let's find some effective partners. Okay? Find some effective partners. And we're going to look at Proverbs 15:22. A lot of the verses out of here are going to come in Proverbs, so... plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. What's that say to us as people? When I make a plan at school, if I plan it by myself, within 3 minutes, a kid has found a loophole or how to break it, okay? That's just the reality of it. And so what I do is I've got a partner at school. She teaches my kids. I teach them social studies. She teaches them English. I go to her, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. And then she says, hey, this step right here, you're going to lose them, right? And then I have another friend who teaches science, who's sort of all over the place and sort of scattered like me. And I'll say, hey, I'm going to do this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And she'll say, you're going to lose them right here, because that's where I'll lose them. And then sometime Aaron and I shared a class once, and she's like, hey, this is going to fall apart with these kids who don't speak English. What do you have a plan for? What do you have a plan with those kids that can't read? Stuff like that. And so when you bring in all these extra people, just like my slide back there, right? If I would have had some one of y'all look at these slides for me, you'd have noticed that I had the same title twice in a row. But I knew what I wanted it to say, and it said it in my mind, right? So find an effective partner. Guys, we are not meant as Christians to live solitary lives. We are meant to be together, right? The first century church, what does it say about them? They were together daily. They sold other things and had all things in common. They were together all the time. And I'll tell you, Matt's at home, so if Matt's going to see this, but one of the best things I feel like Aaron and I have done for our spiritual lives is we live next to Matt and Rita. Like, we helped them move in. We saw the house across the street for sale. We liked it, so we bought it, right? And having that constant reminder is helpful. Friday mornings, some guys get together, we go to breakfast. It is helpful because we are together, and we have developed over the last 2 years a relationship where if John or Travis or James came to me and said, hey, you need to think about X, Y, Z, I feel like I could do that right now. Like, I should listen to them because they are effective partners, right? They are effective at knowing me and my skills and my pitfalls that I can trust them, right? But if one of y'all I don't know very well, it'd be really hard not to get sort of defensive, right? So we're supposed to be together. So let's talk about that for a minute. How do you build? Let me see what I got there. Yeah, that's something I want to bring up. I is heavier than we, right? I is heavier than we. Alone, you can't get much done, right? If I want to pick up this pew, I could probably get this edge off over here. But if I got Jeff over here, I could say, hey, you get this side, I get that side. We could probably pick it up after we unscrewed it from the floor. We'd have to check that first. But I know one of you ladies would be like, hey, did you unscrew it first? After about 10 minutes of us trying to lift it up. So I is heavier than we. The more many backs make a lighter load, heard that too. So how do you do that? How do you get to where you have effective partners? Asking because I don't know. I sort of know. I got some ideas. How many of you all would be comfortable if I came to you and I said, hey, I noticed this? How many of you all would be like, oh, please don't do that? Right? One, because you just don't know me well enough to do that, right? Or if Mike texted you, hey, we need to talk, right? Or Jim or any one of the elders texted you and said, we need to talk. I would panic, right? You ever get those emails at work? Please come to my office at the end of the school day or the end of your day. I told my principal, I said, if you're going to send that email to me, I said, you just need to come find me the school day because you might as well just punch me in the mouth because I'm going to be worrying about the rest of the day. Just come to me, tell me what's wrong, we'll fix it, and we'll be great. But do not leave that, like, you know, the sword of Damocles hanging over his neck the whole time. Don't do that to me, right? So how do you do that? How do you build to where I or anybody in this room could come to you and say, hey, I want to help you. I want to help you be better. Here's what we can do. Friendships. Do stuff with people. People who always sit over here. I know we're some of those. We get in our seat and we stay there. Come over here. People that sit in the middle. Park the seas, right? And I know we hate it. We hate it when somebody's in our seat. I've sat in that seat. When we went to Charlestown Road up in Indiana, Aaron and I sat in the fifth row back on the far left-hand side every time. And when we walked in, if somebody was in my seat, my brain would say, they're in my seat. Don't they know? And so once it was some friends of ours who coincidentally both are named Ashley and Ashley, boy Ashley, girl Ashley. we're sitting in our seats, and I jokingly said something. He goes, I know. I did it to make you uncomfortable. I was like, jerk. Right? But I trusted him. He saw something I needed. So maybe you think you need to sit in somebody's seat. Go for it. Take their seat. But how do you do that? How do you get so build friendships. I completely agree, right? I am comfortable with John coming and telling me pretty much anything about myself, and I probably wouldn't punch him in the nose at first. But it's because we've developed a friendship. Matt Wilson and I were college roommates. Now we live across from each other. I would be very comfortable with him telling me what I need to fix. Okay? Very comfortable. But Daryl, I'd have to think about it a little bit because we just don't know each other that well, right? I mean, I hope I'd be receptive, but it's hard. So build friendships. Spend time with each other. If you remember way back at the old building, Todd did a lesson. It's called They Smell Like Sheep, about how elders should smell like sheep because they should be among their sheep. You can always pick out a shepherd when you go to the Middle East, right? Because they smell like sheep, because they're among the sheep. We should know each other's smells. We should know how each other react. We should be around each other enough that it does that, okay? And I'm going to challenge you. Here's a challenge. I want you to, this is going to be very uncomfortable, right? Because we like to talk about how we are Southern and we have all these hospitality and we love to help each other, but then this is going to be hard for some of y'all. I want you to find two people in this building that within the next, 72 hours will be Wednesday, maybe? I can't count hours. Before Wednesday, I want you to find somebody and tell them something good about themselves. And do it. And if, like, hold each other accountable, right? So, like, Terry and Kim. I'm trying to pick two people I can think of names. As soon as I start to think of names, I've known Clint for years, and as soon as I try to think of his name, I forget it. So, Terry and Kim, before you walk in this building on Wednesday night, ask each other, who'd you tell? And it can't be your wife or your husband or your kids. It's got to be somebody else outside of your family unit. Okay? Ask each other, what did you do? Who did you tell? And what did you tell them? And it is hard. How many of you are like squirming already because you don't want to do it? And you know you're not going to do it. Yeah. That's that kick in the teeth that you're looking for. Find somebody and say, hey, you know what? I love that every time you come in this building, you are whatever. See, I can't even think of something because I'm on the spot. Okay? Find somebody and do that. And I'll tell you this, we had our evangelism workshop yesterday. Numbers were a little low. We worked up the zeal a little bit, guys. And I complimented somebody in the crowd, and then I went to go compliment Rodney, and it felt so awkward, right? Because Rodney and I just don't, we just don't know each other. Like, we know each other, but we're not, like, hanging out all the time. But even though I was just saying something nice about Rodney, I just said, hey, he's level-headed. If I'm too much for somebody, and I know that I'm sort of losing him working with him, Rodney might be a good choice because Rodney is level-headed. He is even, right? He does not get super excited. He is not, like, over the top with a lot of stuff. And that is a skill. I can't do it, right? And it felt like the weirdest thing in the world to do. But why? Because we don't do that. We should be building each other up. So 72 hours, or by Wednesday night, find somebody. I'll even allow you to text them if you have to. Compliment them. Say something good about them. Tell them that you appreciate them for whatever it is they do. And if you have to make it up, make it up. You will make that person's day, okay? So there are roughly, is Mike counted yet? Oh, he's not in here. Well, I had 120 handouts, and there's probably a few left. So let's just, there are 100 people in here. If you do that, did I say one person or two? Two? Yeah, two. So there's 100 people. That means that there's going to be 200 affirmations flying around this building, hopefully, right? I'm holding you to it. I'm going to ask you. So there's going to be a quiz. I'm going to make you write it down when you get here. I'm not going to really do that, but questions about that? That's how we build. That's how we get closer. That is how we do things better, right? Because once you get comfortable telling somebody the good things that they do, and once they trust you and they know that you are looking out for them and that you love them, it works. And I tell school stories because that's what I know. I had a sub walked into my room and just completely tore into the kids. And they lost it, rebelled, threw a fit, because there's only a thin veneer of control in that classroom anyways, right? And as soon as you lose that, you're done. And so he lost it. The next day I come in, I said, man, what happened? He said, I didn't talk to him any different than you did. I said, whoa, what did you say? And he told me what he said. I was like, I said, yeah, I say that, but every kid in this classroom knows that I would jump in front of a train for them first. They know that I would lose my right arm if I could save their life or keep them from harm. They know that about, that I love them. And so I can talk like that to them because they know it's out of love. And I'm encouraging and I'm building them up. And we have that relationship where we can go back and forth picking on each other. You don't have that. You walked into their house and insulted them. So I go to Angie and I'm like, Angie, I think that you have a problem with. And she doesn't know that I love her already. I might as well have just gone to Angie and be like, Angie, you are no better than dog poop in my yard. I always pick on people who I know don't care. So I don't believe that about Angie. And actually, I think Angie is somebody we could probably, she's super understanding, like patience of a kindergarten teacher. Right, and that is there's my one of mine. I'll get two more here in a second. So, okay, don't waste opportunities. I sort of wish that last one was a whole class because there's a lot of stuff we can do. So we build each other up. We get to be better friends. There we go. Don't forget your homework, two things. So don't waste opportunities. John 9, 4 through 5. Don't you hate when they update? They did an Apple update this week, and that, like, all the apps are trying to refresh all at once, and so my... And I know somebody's going to say, you know what doesn't refresh? Hardback Bible. John 9, 4 through 5. Okay, so this is Jesus speaking. We got red letters. If you have a red letter Bible, it's Jesus speaking. It says, we must carry out the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. We have a set amount of time, okay? If you want to know how short your life really feels, young people, it feels like you got a lot of time. And then you blink, and you're 38, and you're thinking, you know what? In 4 years, Mallory's going to move out. And then you blink again, and I haven't hit that second thing yet. I'm in the middle of that blink, right? Time gets shorter as you get older. Kid time is really, really slow, especially at the dentist or the doctor or wherever. But adult time speeds up, right? And it just goes. And we have a fixed amount of time, and we need to understand that we can't waste opportunities. But at the same time, if we miss an opportunity, what do we do? What do? Admit that we did what? That we missed it and plan to do better next time. Because if you say, oh, I missed that opportunity, there it goes. Oh, well. What did you fix? Did you confront the issue in yourself that's causing you to miss that opportunity? Did you look at that person and judge them as, oh, they wouldn't. They don't care. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to obey the gospel. They don't want to be better. They don't want to be good. Fix that bias. Fix the bias that you have so you can approach that better next time. Okay? You also can't let those... You can't let those opportunities that you do miss pile up to the point where you feel like you are so far gone that... You can't do better, right? I'm 38. I've been out of my parents' house for 20 years. I have missed so many opportunities to do this. I can't do any better, right? What's that mindset we talked about? Right? The growth mindset? Yet, right? I've missed all those opportunities. There's nothing, I can't do this yet. Get better at it, okay? I don't know how to insert this religious topic without just beating somebody over the head with it yet. Learn to get better about it, okay? And we can go back through this. Make a plan. Plan to work, right? And that's how you finish with diligence. You put all these four things together, and I hopefully, in this 45 minutes I've been talking to you guys, you have seen that all of us have something out of these four, or maybe even more, right? So what of the four is your Achilles heel, right? What is it that you, that tip that you know, but you can't fix? We got a tennis coach at our school, and he said, I was talking about how you got to get better. You got to recognize that you're getting better. And he told the kids, he said, if I fix a backswing, somebody said, might have said this here, but he brought it up this week, so it hit home again. If I fix a backswing, all I got to tell the person is, twist your wrist. And they go, oh, okay, I knew that. And they do it, because all they're doing is waiting to be told what we need to fix. But that goes back to that friendship thing. There's a lot of stuff that a lot of us could be told, but we're never told that because we aren't comfortable enough with each other to open up and say, here's what we can do. Here's how we can step up. So that find effective partners thing is hard. Notice it didn't say find an effective partner. It said effective partners, plural. You can have 350 partners in this. It's okay. Nobody's going to tell you can't be friends with little Sally because she stole your boyfriend last year. You can do whatever you want, and you can put as many partners as you want. There's some of you people. There's some of us that I would come to for public speaking advice. And there's some of you guys I just wouldn't because you're not public speakers, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's some of you guys that I would come to for, I don't know how to work this point into a sermon. I wouldn't come to you because you've never really written a sermon. But I might come to you because you might have some fresh eyes to look at it, right? So we can stay out of that. So that's part of it. We can't waste those opportunities. And if you do waste opportunities, admit that you wasted it. Go back through the other tips. Read those because they're the ones that are going to keep you propelling forward. And remember this. That's a real easy way. Is that there's time coming when you're not going to be able to work. And if you can't trust somebody saying that, if somebody comes up to you, some of you young people, and say, hey, you ain't going to be alive much longer because I was your age yesterday, you'll be like, oh, yeah, whatever. Okay, old people, go away. Give me my hard candy and move on. Jesus said this, that there's going to be times that you cannot work. And so we should be working when we can. Okay? So a reflection question, how are you making your work pure and right? So two homework assignments. One, don't forget, find somebody and compliment them, two peoples, and compliment them, okay? And if you didn't get somebody that came to you and complimented you and you really want somebody to compliment you, come up and just stand in front of me, and I don't know, the code word, and I will know that you are looking for that compliment, okay? Because I don't want anybody to be left out. And it may take a while. I may have to come back to you in a little while. But do that. Ask this question too. How are you doing this? How are we? Okay? So I better hear y'all compliment each other now because class is over. You got about 10 minutes. If you can't fit two compliments in that, we got to talk. Thanks, guys.